AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
How does a flu, how long does a flu last? Why can't I get to sleep? And why do I keep getting sore throats? Are becoming common questions that people aren't asking their doctors, but they're asking ChatGPT. A recent survey found 40% of Americans trust AI tools to navigate healthcare decisions. But how many people are really turning to the tech, and should it be used? Ilona Duffy, Monaghan-based GP, joins us. Dr. Duffy, would you recommend Dr. Google?
Well, Shane, I think Dr. Google, it depends who the doctor is and what website you're looking up. There's so many symptom checker websites, and some are good and some not so good. And when I say some are good and not so good, some perhaps create unnecessary anxiety for patients about symptoms they have, whereas others can be really quite clear and can be a good guide on when to see your GP or when to self-manage your symptoms at home.
Okay, so is it something, before we get to what you should and what you shouldn't do, is it something you have noticed among your patients? Are they coming to you saying, actually, I looked this up and I was a little concerned and that's why I came to you?
I think sometimes patients can be a little bit reluctant to say they have checked their symptoms, and maybe that's because they feel that they're second guessing their GP or their consultant.
Or you might judge them.
But I think more and more are doing it, and sometimes you get a sense of it in the surgery. You kind of see somebody maybe looking at you quizzically, and I think more and more of us would say, look, is there anything you're specifically thinking? Is there anything perhaps you've searched up on the internet and you're worried it could be? And that's good, because I think it can allow us to sometimes think outside the box, maybe something we're not thinking about, but also probably more commonly it allows us to reassure a patient, no, actually we have outruled that and it's definitely not that serious illness, and don't worry.
So if somebody is looking up and they have a particular symptom and they are looking up ChatGPT or Google, what should they be keeping an eye out for? I mean, I presume you go with, you look at who the source of the information is, do you?
Well, you do. I think, you know, some of the reputable websites, so if you look at kind of medical-based ones, you know, they're, let's say for minor illnesses, we have our own HSE-run one, and that's called undertheweather.ie. It gives good advice, especially to parents on minor illnesses, so how to manage gastroenteritis if your child is vomiting and diarrhea, when to worry about flu, when to worry about a head cold if it's persisting. Or perhaps if you know there's an outbreak of a particular illness, you know, a minor illness in your creche, such as hands, foot and mouth, you're able to look that up and see, well, look, at these are the symptoms, this is what I need to look out for, and this is what I need to do. But again, some of the ordinary symptom checkers, if you put in, let's say, tingling in my hands, it can come up, you know, that can be a common symptom. And if it's something that's new, if it's something that's not bothering you other ways, may not be anything serious, but the first thing that often comes up in some of the symptom checkers is that you have MS or you have some severe neurological condition. So I think it depends, number one, on what your understanding of your symptoms is when you're putting it in. Some of the really good ones, there's an excellent, excellent website, an NHS one called NHS 11. Now, unfortunately, we can't access that here unless you have access to a UK address. But it's brilliant because you put in your symptoms and step by step it goes through. So it's like going through a history taking with a doctor, and it can be very reassuring, and it doesn't lead you down kind of rabbit holes that would be creating worry for you unnecessarily.
Okay, Dr. Ilona Duffy, thank you indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning. Interesting text coming in on this already, Kira. David Kildare said, my son hurt his foot playing football. He was put in a boot and given an MRI. We were told he'd have to wait 3+ weeks for the MRI to be reviewed. I took the MRI, uploaded to ChatGPT, instructed GPT to act as the world's best paediatric orthopaedic consultant. I gave the history and mechanism of the injury. It reviewed the MRI and came back with a detailed diagnosis and treatment. 4 weeks later, I received the human consultant's result. It was the exact same. Why can't we use this technology with human oversight to speed up diagnostics for non-critical assessments? Interesting.
Really interesting. The difficulty is with people doing it themselves, of course, is ChatGPT has no responsibility. Do you know what I mean? So if ChatGPT gets something wildly wrong, what are you going to do? Sue ChatGPT? It's not your doctor. It's just a tool. And I think that's part of the issue. They are using it more and more. I do think it will be used more and more. Dare I say it to my radiologist former colleagues, I think radiology as a specialty will change utterly from AI. I think the AI is going to read those scans, and there will be just a bit of human oversight, or perhaps not, as the case may be. And I suspect radiology will be a dwindling profession, to be honest.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.